If you negotiate with your knee before standing up, you're losing that argument. Joint Relief Institute treats joint pain fast. And yes, it's covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000 as in zero pain.
Sort of hidden around town are history museums. The Chicago History Museum is the big one. But there's a nice little museum in Beverly. And there's a really, really fine one in Edgewater. It happens to be run by many people, most of them volunteers, and I'm sure you too, President John Holden, are a volunteer. You don't get paid to do what you do.
Volunteer president is the operative term, but we are looking to hire someone soon.
Really? That's great. Talk to me, John. I know you're relatively new to this position, but talk to me a little about the history. I've been fond of that place for a long time.
Well, we appreciate your support, Rick. You are a great booster of ours. Society's been around for 38 years now, and the museum is now in its 24th year. Mm-hmm. So it's quite a undertaking to keep it all going, and we're very, very active on many fronts with programming and the museum. So it's a labor of love for many people.
Well, it's certainly a labor of love for you. I mean, you have been, as long as I've known you, been interested in history and the sort of living city that is Chicago. When did you start to get involved seriously with the History Museum?
Well, the Edgewater Group, I think I've been involved with them since 2014. I've been the president for 5 years now, but before that I was the president of the Uptown Historical Society for about 10 years, but that was something of a much more fledgling type of organization than Edgewater, which has been very substantial.
And what's that building? What building are you housing? Was it an old firehouse, or what is that place?
Exactly. It was built as a firehouse. It was more or less sitting dormant for several decades, I think, after it was decommissioned as a firehouse. The city of Chicago was using it for taxi cab record storage, so it was put to a much better use when we took it over.
Yeah, I love the place. I came up there. I spent a lot of time up there for the exhibits you had. I think it was an exhibit focused on 1968 or focused on?
One of our board members' mothers was on the jury for the Chicago conspiracy trial.
Right. Yeah,
gone. It was a very, very in-depth, unusual look at that whole major chapter of Chicago history, but that was several years ago. I think we've had two exhibits since then.
What have you had since then?
Time marches on.
What?
We've been doing quite a bit on a number of different fronts. Tapping into my own personal background, we've been working with Loyola University in the past year to document the first Luxembourger immigrants that moved into the community back in the 1840s and onward. Mm-hmm. We've done a lot about the historic trees in Edgewater.
Oh.
The Edgewater's always been a major center of women political leadership. We had an exhibit in the past year on that. But this year, we kind of cleared the decks and took down all the old exhibits and made way for, really, which is one of our most ambitious long-sought exhibits on the history of theater in Edgewater, which was quite remarkable.
One of the things I've always thought, John Holden, about Edgewater is for some people, it's difficult to define. It's not as easily defined, I think, as, say, the Gold Coast or Old Town or Downtown or how do you define the Gold Coast? Give me the parameters of the Gold Coast, if you would. Or where's the Gold Coast? And where is Edgewater?
In my mind, I don't know. The Gold Coast, I guess, is division of North Avenue east of Dearborn.
Sure.
Edgewater, it's an official city community area. That
right.
Runs between Foster and Devon and east of Ravenswood to the lake. But we do still have a little bit of an identity issue because the Andersonville neighborhood is largely located in Edgewater.
Yeah,
A lot of the younger people, and there are constant streams of new younger people moving into Edgewater, and they come into our museum and they say, why is the Edgewater Museum in Andersonville? So we always have a little bit of education to do every day.
Say, well, if you'd be willing to write us a check, we'll make you a member of the Historical Society. Now, this, talk to me. You know, I'm sort of well-versed in the theater movement in Chicago, but enlighten me, John Holden. Enlighten me. You know, I could tell you about, you know, five different theaters that started on Lincoln Avenue in the DePaul area. But
right.
What is the theater? Whose idea was it to look at the theater history, and what sparked it?
I think there were several of us who were involved in that decision, myself included. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of been a sleeper community up in Edgewater, if you will. But,
yeah.
You know, as we were working on this exhibit over the past year, I'm inclined to say that there might be more theater performance spaces now in Edgewater than any other community area in Chicago. I mean, we're having tremendous losses of theater venues around the city.
No kidding.
Lakeview is losing the 773 place that, you know, housed hundreds of productions over the years. The Briar Street Theater is being torn down for new housing. The relatively new Royal George Complex in Lincoln Park is going to be coming down. So we have five venues in Edgewater that are available for rental to various theater companies. And, you know, I think it's just kind of that old real estate story in Chicago. The closer you get to downtown, the pricier the real estate gets. And, you know, these not-for-profit venues are having a hard time surviving. So we're happy to have them move further north and take up business in Edgewater.
Well, I think it's very interesting to sort of mark the history, a theater history of Edgewater, and then use that to kind of spark this new vitality that's possible. I think that's a wonderful idea, because I'm not about to start a theater company because I'm the worst businessman in America, but I think it would. Have you found it yet, John Holden, to be sort of inspiring for people who did not know the rich theatrical history of Edgewater?
I think it definitely lets a lot of people just getting into the theater world know that there's a great support system in the community, that there are a lot of like-minded spirits, and there's a you know, real support network that takes place. So it's a very rich creative community. You have not only actors and writers, but all the technical people, the costumers, the set designers, and lighting people. It's a rich ecosystem.
What do you think, as far now I'm thinking in the future, now I'm thinking that the Edgewater History Museum is going to start the new flowering of a theater in the area. What kind of spaces are available, John?
Well, there are a variety, and they keep growing in number. Going back almost 100 years, the Edgewater Presbyterian Church over on Bryn Mawr has made space available for theater companies, and I think since the 1930s, they've routinely had a number of theater companies operating out of the space. The City Lit Theater Company, is probably the most established, longest running in Edgewater currently, has been housed over there for 30 or 40 years or more, I believe. Burger Park, right on the lakefront over at Granville and Sheridan. Very unusual space that's been used by a lot of theater companies to great effect. There was a relatively new space, I think about 10 years ago, the Edge Theater, a newly built, purpose-built theater right on Broadway. Last year in the Andersonville neighborhood on Clark Street, there's the Bramble Theater Company opened up. It's a performance venue that's already housing a number of companies. And then also the Raven Theater was an old grocery store.
Oh, God, yeah,
at
sure.
Clark and Granville. And
sure,
that was
sure.
Turned into a great theater space with two performance venues, I think about 20, 25 years ago.
John Holden, as president of the Edgewater History Museum and sort of the one orchestrating this exhibit on the theatrical history, basically the storefront theater history of Edgewater. Was there anything that really surprised you? Someone walked in and said, oh, I have these old programs from so-and-so. Anything like that?
We get a lot of that kind of material, and we had a couple of key volunteers, including some of our board members who were working tirelessly to track down that. We literally have had over 50 theater companies in the last 25 years operating in Edgewater, and we got materials from almost all of them, which we've incorporated into this exhibit that we have, which is maybe a little bit overwhelming when you first walk in, but it's really kind of an astonishing thing to think about how many people have come and gone, and many of them have come and stayed.
Yeah. Edgewaterhistory.org is the place to go to find out when you can go see, and I think you should, the Edgewater History Museum's exhibition about the history of theater. The website, chicagohistory.org, to visit and see when the exhibit at the Edgewater History Museum is open, and you can go see it, and you can also meet, I'm hoping you can meet John. How often are you there, Mr. President?
I'm dropping in all the time, but we have a regular schedule of docents who are greeting the public. We are open, free and open to the public every Saturday and Sunday from 1 to 4 p.m., and also available for any type of special group outings if they are interested in making a plan, a special plan outside our normal hours. They can go to our website, edgewaterhistory.org, and make a request there. We also have a series of salons coming up with leaders from many of the local theater companies that have been working in Edgewater over the next several months. So the exhibit will probably be up through the better part of the current calendar year.
That's right.
Maybe even longer. But
did you have Chris
starting on February 26th? We're gonna have a series of Friday evening salons with various artistic
types,
performers. Yeah.
Types. Yep. Was Chris Jones up there?
Yes, we had a great kickoff lecture by Chris Jones of the Chicago Tribune. Not only the theater critic, but also the editorial page editor.
He does everything.
Busiest man in American journalism. But
I'm surprised he's not the backfield coach for the Bears now, too.
He gave a absolutely great talk. We were in the oldest theater space in all of Edgewater, the auditorium of the former Trumbull School, which is now the Waldorf School. It's a 120-year-old performance space, and it was great to see the theater was set up for a student production going on, so I couldn't think of a better venue for the outing.
Well, and Chris, you know Chris, and I know Chris very well, and he's just so passionate about theater and the importance of theater and the sort of urban fabric that is Chicago. John Holden, I'm sure you have some books for sale up there, and I'm hoping you have your fine book about the Edgewater Beach Hotel that you wrote with Catherine Gemperly. Is that her name?
That's correct, yeah.
Wow, that's
We still have a few for sale. If people are interested, you can get them at the museum or find them online as well. But, the Edgewater Beach Hotel was really probably the first major outpost of theater in Edgewater.
Yeah, well, sure.
Very colorful history, and back in the 1950s, they were home to a repertory series of major shows that really brought major stars: Groucho Marx, Mae West, Franchatone, Zero Mostel. They all performed over at the Edgewater Beach Hotel over the years. So
I think it's partly hard. You must have gotten a real sense of what a magical place that was, because I even remember my parents talking about their courting days and how they would often go to the Edgewater Beach Hotel and walk back downtown along the lakefront, and it was about as charming as any stories my parents ever told me. And you and Catherine did a wonderful job with that book, John. I really love that book. It sold a number of copies, I'm assuming. And you're proud.
We did very well. We didn't really have any expectations, but I'm told it sold much better than the average Arcadia Press book. So we're very proud of that. And I still give talks from time to time. And I'm always amazed to hear. I learn new. I've learned so much since the book came out about the hotel from the people who came to my talks that I could probably write a second book. But it's utterly amazing. And
well, you must. That must be a great thing for you, John, as president of the Edgewater History Museum, to encounter people. You know, history, their memories. It's an essential part of who they are. I mean, I hear that from them because I occasionally write about the old stuff too, and it's the memories are so charming. I find and important to the people. What are your ambitions, Mr. Unpaid President? What are your ambitions for the History Museum? Do you have ambitions, or is it let's put on another great show? I'm sure you're not thinking let's move and expand our space by tenfold or something, but
that's probably not in the cards. We've been very busy just kind of doing things all the time. We do music programs, lectures, book clubs, constantly doing stuff. Planning for the future has kind of been on the back burner.
Yeah.
So we're trying to turn our attention to that, and it's probably not news that a lot of the community historical societies are facing a challenge in getting younger people involved. And,
Absolutely.
That's kind of where we're at right now.
What do you think is the reluctance of younger people to get? You know, I was lucky to have a father who was a sort of historian and
sure.
who imbued in me the value of stories that were not on television, for Christ's sake.
Well, your dad worked in the business. My dad was just a regular Chicago guy, but he also just imbued in me a great appreciation for the colorful place that this city is.
Yeah. Are you doing any other writing now, John Holden?
I'm trying, but not always succeeding. I've been traveling a lot as well, but the community obligations on many fronts are always ever pressing. So this historical society is the fun stuff.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, it is edgewaterhistory.org, and you should. It's a charming, charming place. Can teachers bring up small gatherings of kids?
Absolutely. We're totally open to those kinds of group visits. From kids to we get more senior citizen homes looking to come and make visits. But everyone's welcome.
And what do you sell there? What kind of stuff do you have? What kind of tchotchkes do you have? You have, I hope, your book about the Edgewater Beach
Aside
Hotel.
From the book, quite honestly, no, there's really nothing else that we offer for sale. We've had posters and here and there over the years. We have some of those types of things, but no, generally not a gift shop at the Edgewater History Museum.
Well, I just want to see it. Yeah, I'd see it. Once again, here's another stupid Rick Kogan business idea. Don't do that. John, it's an ongoing pleasure to know you, and it's an ongoing...
Rick, you're a civic treasure.
I do what I do. And yeah, a civic treasurer had to write about the frugal gourmet in Sunday's paper. Jesus, what a he was never my cup of tea, Jeff Smith, the frugal gourmet. And this 5-part series about him is about as disgusting as anything in Jeffrey Epstein's life.
Well,
it's really a bad guy. John, congratulations. It's a great space, and it's a great museum. And as
Thanks,
I said,
Rick,
there,
we,
you know this, there are little hidden gems like this all over town. I mean, I like the Beverly Museum, and most of them are not open all the time, but they are certainly worth visiting. So, John, keep me posted, will you please?
Thanks, Rick.
Okay,
we'd love to
take
have you
care.
Up there sometime. Take care.
You bet. I'd love that. We got a lot of wonderful mutual friends.